pray for grace and mercy for them? Do we ask God to reveal to us to stop praying for that person's salvation? How do we pray? And do we still need to pray for the lost, for the world, and so on and so forth? Now, there were... When do we stop praying? Is there a time when we actually stop praying? The answer is yes, but only with reference to specific situations. Okay? Only with reference to specific things where it is definite, and nobody can tell you exactly when that will take place. And we see this a clear example of what we mean by stop praying. Okay, let's take a look at this book of Jeremiah for a while, and you will see this very clearly taught. But you have to read it very carefully, otherwise we'll misunderstand it. Okay, Jeremiah, and then chapter 15. In Jeremiah 15, we read this word, that the Lord said to me, even if Moses and Samuel stood before me, my mind would not be favorable toward this people. And so, there it is. Now, these are called specifics. Okay? Specific with one reference to Jeremiah and is Judah at this point of time. Two, with reference to the immediate moment. It is really the immediate future. Okay, there is a greater plan to be revealed later on, where God will restore. Okay, so when God tells us to stop praying for certain things specifically, it is always with reference to specifics in mind, rather than general things. If I'm not praying because I am discouraged, don't let me find a scapegoat somewhere to give myself an excuse to stop praying. That makes sense to you? Okay? So if I'm praying for something and it is not receiving the answers that I would like to see, I want to examine it from other perspectives rather than just, do I carry on doing the same thing? Okay? This is very, very important. So do I stop there? Are there certain situations when the person, where it is becomes very, very obvious what we want to look at? Answer is yes. Okay? Let us say that the person is before marriage. You can pray, may they not be married. Mothers in prospective, mothers, one mother came up to me and said, Pastor, please pray. I have never asked anything from God. I only ask, this person must not become my son-in-law. Okay. Hey, pastors work very challenging, so... I was asked to go and speak to the daughter. Since the man is not going to see me, then I had to speak to the daughter. And the daughter, thankfully, was very open to me. So I expressed, not from the mother's standpoint, but from the standpoint of an overall assessment to this person. And then the person was able to see that his interest is not her. His interest is in the mega millions that she has. And she got out of that relationship hurt, but at least looking backwards, grateful. There are lots of reasons why people go into things like that. So, but if you can prevent, you prevent. But if you cannot prevent, and they are already married, no point praying stage 1, because stage 2 has already occurred. Okay? And it's very, very important. Stage 2, and you know this is going to be a bad situation. And true enough, it happens. This is another scenario. Okay? This is another scenario, and this is really, really bad situation. This person is not at all good to the spouse. And so on and so forth. Now, what's the next stage? Third stage. And the third stage had to be reached because this person was saying, "You want me to get out? Sure, I'll get out. Give me the money. I'll get out." So, make it into a legal contract. You will never try to see your family here ever again. We give you this X dollars. Okay? How many X's you want? Determine. He was just so happy to get out. Hey, big fat check. It changes. 1, 2, 3. Now, I cannot disclose this to you. Is this person in our church? No. Who? No, you don't know this person. This person is not in our church. But, you know, I just want to tell you that I do consultations like this with people. Because they're not going to tell their own pastor this, you see. They always find another pastor from another church to give them advice. Otherwise, it will be very hard. Well, it happens all the time. So you've got to watch very carefully how you're going to pray. Do we stop praying at certain specific situations? Yes. If we can do something about it, fine. If we cannot do something about it, that's what it is. And it really, really is bad, it changes. Along the way, we keep seeking God's grace and mercy along the way. There's no other way but to look at it prayerfully. So responsibility is a very, very big thing. We must keep praying, but along the way, we pray for other things. Somewhere, somehow, if a person is not responsible, we make up for the difference. We pray, we make up for the difference, one way or the other. Okay, so if this person is not this, well, we pray that we may make up the difference, and for that. And God always helps us, raises up people to make up the difference. That's what we can pray about. Lord, somehow make the difference here. Make up the difference for what is missing here, whatever the case may be. And that's how we pray. We can pray that God will somehow compensate, or if not compensate, then find the strength to get out of it anyway. Well, that's how we look at it. Okay? Now, let me go on and some of the questions that you have raised are going to be what I'm going to answer. So I will answer it from this standpoint. Here's another one. It's just not quite the same. So the things which are more or less going to be answered, I will take it up. But in my message, if not, I will answer this one. For example, will God consider our burden, our heart, pain, suffering as a complaint? Okay, if we do not complain to God, who can we direct it to? Okay, let's turn to the book of Psalms for a while. Okay, we turn to the book of Psalms, and I want to share with you Psalm 77 is called a psalm of complaint. Okay, there are morning psalms, there are evening psalms, there are complaining psalms. This one is a complaining one. Okay, when you complain, it serves no purpose in the first place. Second place, it will only hurt you. Okay, remember, it will only hurt you. Psalm 77 is an example. I cried out to God with my voice, and He gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. Now, that's the first problem. So you can cry to God. The soul refused to be comforted. Now, how does it work? What does it mean, refuse to be comforted? The Lord hears our prayers, but no, in other words, you're not answering it my way. And I don't want to take your answer. I'm just going to keep complaining. So, he complains. Verse 3, I remembered God and there was trouble. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. A complaining spirit will cause you to be overwhelmed. You only hurt yourself. You might as well don't. Find a different way of approaching life. There is no need to complain. Okay, watch this very carefully. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, remembering the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart. My spirit makes diligent search. And so he looks at it and he said, verse 10, this is my anguish. So a complaining spirit will only harm you. What's the point? The best way to fight a complaining spirit is to remember, like that's what we're doing, recalling, remembering, learning all these deep lessons as a better substitute than all these things. I would rather recall a song in the night. I would rather read up things in the past. My spirit makes diligent search. I will ask this question: will the Lord cast off forever? These are called rhetorical questions. Answer: no. Will he be favorable no more? Of course not. Has his mercy ceased forever? No. Has his promise failed forever? No. Has God forgotten to be gracious? No. These are good rhetorical questions. The answer is the answer is so expected you don't answer it. And the answer is no to all this. No, 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 no. Ah. This is my anguish. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. I will remember your wonders of old. Take time to remember what God has done for us. And if we remember what God has done for us, then you know, our spirit will be stronger, brighter, happier, rather than to look always on the downside of things. So, and I don't think a complaining spirit is really the best way to go, or any way to go. Okay? It's important. Alright, now we go on further to today's lesson. And I want to talk about answers. Some of your questions is answers. For example, one question is, our prayers have been answered. Does this mean the manner we pray is correct? For that matter, if we do not have answers to prayer, what does this mean? Well, let's take a look at this. Okay, and because there's so many chapters involved, I'm going to highlight the point of it all. Okay, page 7 now. Page 7. When you pray, do you expect an answer? Do you? And it's very important for us to ask. Because there are people who just pray and they don't really expect any answer from God. Unfortunately. So, do we pray at all? Okay? Supposing we pray and God gives an answer, have you understood the answer? What if we pray, God answers, and we have no idea what's happened? would we have missed the point too? And then when we pray, there are no answers. Well, what then? What then do we do with this? Okay, this is something that we need to look at very, very, very carefully. So I thought it would be good for us to look at some of these things here, and then we'll look at it a bit more carefully along the way as you ask questions. When we pray, we must look for answers. So I am praying, Lord, give me health. Okay, for example, one of the things that as we grow older, you'll find that we become flabby, our muscles are not so, you know, there's a tone muscle loss, and so on and so forth. Everybody says, as expected, as old age, and all that. Well, I say, no, that's not true. I'm responsible. I like my tailor to say, you know, hey, you have 1 inch, unfortunately not bigger. But too much also got to change new whole wardrobe, so no good. But I'm glad that he's able to recognize that some exercise went in, tone is there. Okay, I think it's very, very important. Well, we want to look at it. Answers are to be expected. But remember, all answers come with deep lessons. And every answer must be fathomed carefully. Okay, I mean, it's very, very important. Let me give you some of those things here. I take a look at these things here, and I think that I can see 4 things about these plagues that God gave. For example, number of plagues, 10. Not indefinite. Okay, 1. Tomorrow, another 1. You know, 1,000. Okay, why stop at 10? Why not hit them harder? Hey, still not so good. Hit him. You know, why not? Frogs. How about other things? No. You see, we can add on to it. So, the number also control. That's reason. Type of plagues. Why this particular plague? Wow. It's really, really, very important. And the duration of each plague. Purpose of each plague. Not just plagues. And we say, wow, we always make fun of it. You know, cartoons, you know, the frog jump here, the frog jump there. And then, you know, and then we think, we don't know how to go deeper. Okay, this is very, very important for us to understand that all these things are with a definite thing in mind. Right? So when we pray, remember, this is all orchestrated by God. Moses did not come up with his ideas because he wouldn't know how to ask for what plagues. Okay, no, not so good. Only God knows what is best. And his answers are to be fathomed. And don't try not to give suggestions to God. He's been God longer than you are alive. He's done it all. So try not to tell him what to do. That would be very, very, very important. Okay? So something we want to bear in mind. Now, how do we understand all these things? Now, if you look very carefully, the key word is the word fulfillment. That's what we're studying this month and December. You will find that everything that God does, in fact, actually fulfills a word somewhere he has stated. Fulfillment is a key word. So whenever you want to pray for something, it's good to look at the idea of fulfillment. Is God fulfilling something along the way? It would be helpful if you try and understand this. That God is fulfilling something along the way, and that's helpful. Okay, so you mustn't think of this as at our beck and call, okay, now God, you last time sent in darkness, now hit darkness. No. It's not at your beck and call. It is God determined. Will all these signs and wonders stop also? Yes. People say, well, where did the Bible verse say you will stop? They just stop. There were no such miracles. None of these things were ever occurred again. Not in Canaan. Nowhere else. So there is high purpose behind everything that God does. Rather than to pray for, you know, we all, oh, God can do anything. He did this in Egypt, now He do this again and again. It's not what we want. Don't add any more plagues to this world. This world already plagued. Can you see this? It's so absolutely vital that we understand this. Okay? So, they indicate the power of God. Now, there are a number of things that God said He would do. Take, for example, 7:3. I will multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not heed you. So after he turned the water into blood, if I were Pharaoh, but I'm not, I would have said, please, please, please go now. I would be scared. If God can do it once, I would fear Him if He does it twice. No need to do it twice. Go. But no, He would not listen. He would not heed. Therefore, I will multiply. The only way Pharaoh is going to listen is when I bring him down to his knees. The only way Pharaoh will listen is when it hurts him personally. None of these things that happened to Egypt will touch him personally. Others may not have water, he will have. Others may suffer losses. He's too rich to suffer losses. None of these things affect him until his own son died. That's when you know it will happen. You see, so signs and wonders are for a purpose. They are not to be seen as at our beck and call. If it happened then, it can happen now kind of reasoning. Is wrong right from the start. They're all very clearly in fulfillment of something that God had said. Why is signs and wonders? Because Pharaoh will not heed. That's why. Can you see what I'm trying to say? Okay, there was a reason why these things were done. Number 2:7-4, we read. That I may lay my hand on Egypt, bring my armies and my people out. Now, interesting. My armies, my people. If I were in the days, if I knew all these things here, what would be my response? I would say, where are the armies? There are no armies. What would I do? I would start a militia group. I would create the armies in fulfillment. Did Joshua do this? Very greatly possible. My people, my armies. Are they organized yet? They are not. Are they ready to go? You cannot herd cats. American expression. You cannot herd cats. You know what to herd cats? Cats cannot be herded. They will scatter each its own way. You need the children of God to become armies, not just people. Did Joshua organize this? Yes. Later on, when they were marching, when the Ark of the Lord was made, one will go north, south, east, west. Just a little word. And if you are wise to the way God speaks, that word will be important. So there we go. And we appreciate this. I will lay my hand on Egypt. 7:4, second part of it. By great judgments. And it's important. By great judgments. And Egypt and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. When I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. There you go. Four distinct things God said would be fulfilled, and all those things will fulfill these four things. That's why that we begin here again. I am the Lord in all His power, in all His majesty, in all His might. I am the Lord. I will tell you what I am going to do. Revelation of knowledge. See? The Lord will not do anything till He reveals this to His servants. And He revealed to His servants, okay, I'm going to do this. There we go. That's the second part of it. And then here is it, the great judgment. All these things were in judgment of Egypt. And then finally, to help them know that I am the Lord. Very important. Okay, now there are lots of reasons. We are not going to look for these plagues to come. The lessons to be learned are even more important than the actual experience of these plagues. 7:6. Then Moses and Aaron did so. This is your turning point. Just as the Lord commanded them, so they did. Okay, so this is very, very important. This is where you come to the point of obedience first. And as long and until we come to the point of obedience, what may we expect in prayer? Answer, nothing. Literally, seriously, nothing. Well, these are things that we want to consider. What does it mean? So it's not just praying. It's not about you, Moses, praying. It's about you, Moses, obeying. Not complaining, obeying. See, this is the point of it all. Prayer must bring us to the point of submission to God as the Lord, and we walk in obedience to the Lord. I think this is something we want to seriously consider. Okay? And then from here onwards, we read, then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, chapter 7, verse 8, saying, okay? And so, this is how it was. Verse 10, so Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so, just as the Lord commanded. And they did so, just as the Lord commanded. And this is going to be a pattern from here onwards. So it's not about our ideas alone. It's really about what we discern as God leading us to do. That knowledge of what God is going to do, knowledge of life, knowledge of God's will, knowledge of all these things will be the best thing to do. So there are lessons for Moses. But there are lessons for Pharaoh too. They're not the same lesson. In other words, one answer can have different applications. It's never a single application. And so For Moses and Aaron, they needed to learn obedience. They needed to listen to the voice of God. They needed to confront Pharaoh. This is very, very, very important. Chapter 8, verse 10. Let's take a look at this one here. Okay, in verse 10. That you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. There were many, many lessons along the way to learn. Okay, chapter 7, verse 17. Let me run through this list of these things for you, then you raise up questions. 7, 17. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. And this is going to be repeated a number of times. 8, verse 10. That you may know. 8 and verse 18, we read, the magicians so worked, but they could not. They could not bring forth lies. There were lies on man and beast. Why they want to bring up more lies is a real challenge to me. Lies on man and beast. I also can produce lies, which they did. Spelled wrongly. Why do they want to produce such lies? If I were them, I would remove them, not add on. And then they finally said, this is the finger of God. There we go. But Pharaoh's grew hard, just as the Lord had said. So we are looking at 10 plagues, one after the other. Do you know, when you start doing the work of God, like that, and you hear, you understand, you see the power of God, those complaints disappear from your life. There's no room to complain. There's no room to go and have difficulties and problems, what have you. We're looking at a new change of things. This was Moses being changed along the way because he had learned how to pray. Now, please understand this. It's not that Moses was praying right. Okay, what is the best way to call up frogs? There's no such thing as the best way to call out frogs. Now, I must say, pray for frogs with my right hand, pray for lice with my left. You know, pray for something else with both hands. That's not a question of your gestures. It's not. And God's answers to prayer are really, really wondrous, beyond what we could possibly imagine. Alright, over to you for questions. You might want to raise questions and I'll be able to help you to understand this a little bit better. So the question, our prayers have been answered. Does this mean the manner we pray is correct, is alright? Not necessarily. Okay? There are many, many prayers that are answered depending upon who you are, what's where you stand before God. Deuteronomy chapter 8 is an example. I show you Deuteronomy. Let's look at this. Just in case we think that everything we do is because of the way we pray. Not necessarily. Let's look at chapter 8 for a while. And Moses warns the people. Okay? The Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. A land of brooks of water, fountains, springs that flow out of valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, land of olive tree, oil and honey. Okay? Now, verse 11. Beware you do not forget the Lord. Verse 12. Lest when you have eaten, you are full, you have built beautiful houses, you dwell in them. And when your herds and your flocks multiply, silver, gold multiplied, all you have multiplied, your heart is lifted up. You forget the Lord. There is great danger even in answers. Now, what else are the other dangers? We forget the Lord. Worse than forgetting the Lord, verse 17. You say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Every time there is an answer from God, it is wiser to attribute that to the grace and to the mercy of God, rather than because you made the effort. And it's important, because the moment we think that we've made the effort, well, this could happen. Let's look at Psalm 30. Okay, let's take a look at Psalm 30. Verse 6. In my prosperity, I said, in other words, your success, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain stand strong. See? Wow. Look at me. I have a mountain now. I'm very strong. Wow. I acknowledge by your favor, I am here. Really? Verse 7. You hid your face, and I was troubled. All God needs to say is, really? You're very strong. Really? Okay. I'm going to hide my face. You were saying? What were you saying? Troubled. Because you're not doing all that great. How do you know? I would rather not. You see this? So Psalm 30, you hit your face. And then he realizes it. This is not a way to go. And so troubles came. To the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? In other words, he knew that he was sinking down into the pits. Anytime it could happen, it could hit you hard. So what's the point? What is the point? So be careful. So when we say, are we doing it right? It may contribute. But remember, God's answers to prayer, bigger than our prayer efforts. There is something that God is going to do far greater. Does God give us wealth? That's reason. Does God give us life, health, skills? There are reasons why these things are there. Find them. Fulfill them. Rather than just simply to bask in the prosperity that God gives to us. That's important. That really, really is important for us to understand this. If I may borrow a little bit from what Penghui shared with me. I ask him, I keep in touch with him. I said, how is he doing every month? And he will tell me, the first month, thank God, he says, we are in the black. Thank God. Then the second month, he says, we are doing better than the first month. I say, yes. And it will get better still. And then he said to me, you know, some of the people I see, I didn't charge. I said, I'm glad for you. I'm glad that you have heart that says, I don't need to charge. All the time. I'm glad. And because he says, well, how about this month? You didn't charge. Was it lesser then? He says, nope. It was even better. There we go. It's not about money all the time. It never is. I have had surgery done by some of the top surgeons in Singapore. And they have never charged me. And they said, you're my friend, and I'm not going to charge you. And I appreciate that. And those are high five figures. And he said, no. And I appreciate that. Not because of anything else, but because it is in the name of, it's not about money. You know? Well, there are challenges. They are really religious. You never know how you impact lives of people. So that you must see it as a bigger than you imagine. It's so important. Okay? So the lessons for Pharaoh to learn, for Egypt to learn as well. So God's answers are always bigger than our own prayer efforts. It's so important for us to understand very clearly. The one about Moses praying, stepping, I will answer later on. Okay? But let's look at this very carefully. Alright. Anything else you want to raise up first before we... Yeah, go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, Pastor, in point 1C, you talked about praying but not having an answer from God. In such a situation, when should we be persevering and when should we be sensitive to the fact that we are praying the wrong things?
Okay, good. I mean, let's say that if you can specify where God is not going to get answer. Let's say that the answer is the no answer rather than the answer is no. There's a difference between no answer and the answer is no. Okay? If the answer is no, the answer is no. That's all there is to it. Right? So, if your hair has turned color, what? Not going to happen. Lay hands on me. Not going to happen. Right? I wish I had my hair. That's not the point. These sort of things are really, that's not really the answer. It's really, really inconsequential. Okay, but let us say that we are going to pray. If we can be more specific, it would be helpful. Let us say that it would be nice if I prayed for this. When I was... let's say that... And then, okay, cancer has come. I would rather not say, okay, please, cancer, go. You know, because of cancer, I've been able to open... I've been able to open more doors than I've ever had. Because people take one look at me. You also a survivor? Yes. Okay, let's talk. Tell me how you cope. Rather than not. You see? So, the answers are not in that sense a bad sense out of it. There's a question of what we want to do about it. If you can be more specific, I would probably be able to handle it, you know, a bit more definitely. Okay, but it's something that we need to look at very, very carefully. Can we do this? Let's say that we are looking into a business idea. For people who want to take a second career, what should I do next? Well, we all a change of whatever. And can I rethink this? And many people think, okay, I pray about it, then it will work out. Nonsense. If I'm a very good person, I pray very faithfully, I'm a very righteous person, God will bless my business. Rubbish. That's not true. You will still fail. You still fail, but you still righteous, but you still fail. See, many people apply this. You know, okay, I'm not a good cook, but God, you blessed me with cooking skills. So I set up chicken rice store. Nobody comes. Nobody wants my chicken. Lord, I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. Make my chicken more tasty. It's not going to happen. You don't have the skills. Or maybe I'll hire my Hainanese friend and ask him to do my chicken. Ah, it makes sense. So it sells. Because I'm not the one who can do it. You see what I'm trying to say? So prayer brings me to a time where I re-evaluate. Prayer brings me to the point of time where I rethink. Like, you know, I want to recall my songs in the night. I want to recall what God has done in the past. Psalm 30. I want to recall, remember all these things here. That is very important. This is exactly what the Starbucks guy did in his book Onwards. Why was Starbucks failing? It was dropped down to $7 only. It had taken literally 3 times down. It was well over $20 and now it's only worth $7. What's wrong? First, he fired the CEO. He took on himself that role. I'm both chairman and CEO. Chairman doesn't do very much. He just sits on the board. CEO runs the thing. Do you know how to run it? He brought back his old values, his old ideas. And then he brought it back again. But it was hard, hard work. Hard decisions. It was not downsize. He used a new word, right size. And a lot of shops went. Those who were not performing went. 1,500 shops closed. What's your right size? You don't have the business skills, don't even think about it. That's what it is. And so we got the right people to do it. I mean, this is what we want to seriously look at. What's your business model? Not your righteous life model. Your life is righteous, wonderful. You are not stealing business from other people, wonderful. You are honest, wonderful. Will I still fail? Yes. Why? Because I don't have the business knowledge and the savvy. It would take time to develop that part of it. And my righteousness has nothing to do with success in business. You have to have the right mix. So don't mistake this. Okay? Don't mistake this. If I am going to business, I would want to consult a person who is business rather than to consult a pastor who doesn't know anything about business. Because the person who knows about it will be able to help me make sense rather than the person who just gives me spiritual advice. But a person has got a colorectal problem, I would rather see Jane. Don't ask me. Because I'm not going to pray for healing anyway. So what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to pray for you. Mine is the last rites. Right? I'll do the last part. The first part, you better see Jane. If Jane says that thing pastor can do better, okay, then I know what it means. I'm taking over. She's done her part. But I am not going to confuse the two. I'm not going to confuse the two. So if there are no answers, I better know what's happening. And a lot of people are not doing it right when it comes to cancer. We had a friend of ours over in Australia. And so she was told, you know, if you want to fight this cancer problem, you know, you should drink pure water. Then have a right diet. All vegetables, pure water, I feel better. And I said, why would you go for surgery? No need. You know, and quoted this Bible verse, quoted this this particular book that she's reading. Now I must have faith. So I told the family, and I told her too, you're doing it wrong. She says, no. Oh, I believe. I have faith. I trust in God. And I told her, you will die. So now we have all the books, all the Bible verses, all the faith, all the trust, all the prophets as well. And there's me that says, you will die. Thank you very much. No need for you to minister anymore to my family. Okay, I understand that. I accept that. Really? A year down the road, called me, Pastor, can you come and help me do something else? I'm dying. It could have been saved. To me, that is such a stupid waste of life. And we call it faith. We call it prayer. We are putting prayer where it does not belong. We think prayer is the by all, wherewithal, answer all to everything. God never meant prayer to be like this. None of the plagues that came out was because of prayer. Moses did not pray for darkness or for frogs or for water to be turned into blood. None of those plagues came about because of prayer. Don't mistake it. It's prayer that handles the thing. Prayer is the handler. How do I handle this one? I handle this by understanding what God said. He is the Lord. Till all learn, I am the Lord. Till Pharaoh learns, he will not learn. Then the plagues will continue. Until he learns. Until Egypt learns, it will continue. The moment they learn, stop. But it's nothing to do with prayer. Prayer helps us to understand things. It is not always the causative factor. We often see prayer as a causative factor. That's our problem. So if I'm not doing it right, if I'm into business, it's bleeding, I better find out why it's bleeding. Maybe people are cheating me blind where I don't even know it. Oh, because I trust them. But that's not how it works. We've got to know. We've got to develop a savvy. We've got to understand this. And prayer makes us turn to God for the right answers. For the right approach, for the right spirit. But it is not always causative. Make sense to you? Okay? It is God who will bring about what He said would be His plan to take the people out. So Moses will now know, the children of Israel will now know, Egypt will now know, Pharaoh will now know that He is the Lord. If they learn the right lessons. Okay, so prayer is a very, very profound thing. Do not just simply dismiss it as causative. I asked for this, you know, God said ATM, and then this is called prayer. What's your code number? P-R-A-Y-E-R, and then prayer, and then out comes the answer. It's never been like that. It was never meant to be like that in the first place. Okay, I hope you understand what we're trying to say over here. All right, any questions you want to ask? Just, yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
How do we go about praying to prevent the problem of pride when the Lord is prospering us? I mean, is it wrong to feel joy? Should we be praying for?
No. There's nothing wrong with feeling joy or pride or anything like that. No. It's only when our heads get too big. You know, then you begin to realize, wow. Now, what will God give to people? Let me give you an example. Let's turn to the book of Zephaniah for a while. You see this. Not many people think that God cannot give to us the things that we want. You'd be surprised what God has said would be what He wants to give to us. Amazing. Zephaniah chapter 3, last chapter. For the Lord said, this is what He will do. Okay? And He will bring His people back. And then He said, in the last couple of verses, at that time, I will appoint them for praise and fame. Then He went on further to say it again. Verse 20. At that time, when I gather you, I will give you fame and praise among all the peoples of the earth. God designed us to be that way, to the praise of His glory. So when people look at you and they say, wow, this is truly of God, and they honor you, there's nothing wrong with it, as long as you don't let it get to your head.
In Psalm 30 verse 7, that the psalmist wrote, Lord, by your favor you have made my mountain stand strong. So he did recognize that God gave him, it was God's favor on him. And yet, there was a problem of...
Yeah. When we get too big for our boots. Yes. And all the Lord God needs to do is to hide himself. In other words, he will not show his favor, and we will see this.
Then how do we prevent the problem of getting too big for our boots? As in, do you then pray but not take it away?
We can prevent it by... Not that we don't want to get anything. No, no. Because the Lord's promise is that... Remember He said in Deuteronomy 8, I will give you this, that. Go ahead. There's nothing wrong with God's blessings. We just make sure, one, we say, bless the Lord. Thank God. That's one. Two, we do not forget. You know, we acknowledge the Lord. Whatever we have, we learn how to give. Which is, by the way, the next theme for the next YG retreat. Learning how to give. People have not understood the joy of giving. Really. Paul says, we are to learn truly to abound in this grace, learning how to give. And a lot of people, they calculate, I must pay taxes, I must eat so much, I must go shopping, at Christmas I got nothing left, and then I only got $50 left, and then I give an offering, one tenth of me $50, and then it's $5 left. I spread it out to $1 plus $1 for down memory lane because of 4 Sundays. What is wrong with us if we... You see, this is what happens, and that could happen. See, the problem is greed. Is it that it will always be there to test us? Will always be there to test us. What do we do with it? Okay? So, while God gives... Is it wrong for God to give us prosperity? No. It was always His plan. Always His plan to give us and help us succeed. But never in terms of just... I like what the prophet said, you know? And he said, and two things I asked the Lord not to give to me. Don't make me so poor, then I steal. Don't make me so rich, then, you know, I forget you. That's true. But there's nothing wrong with the Lord blessing us with what He wants to bless us. Okay? But the problem is that we feed our own ego. That's our problem. And then we want more and more of the things that we have. More. People can spend $10 million on a wedding and offering give $10. That's amazing. This is how they regard the Lord. And I make it a point. That's what I do. My first check every month must go to the Lord. Must. When it comes to cash, I go to the bank specially. I set aside this cash that I have that I will give. I'll never use it for anything else. This I make sure that I will not do it. It's very important. I like to teach by example. I cannot tell people to give and I don't give. I cannot tell people to sacrifice and I don't. It doesn't work. Right? I hope this is something that you want to think about very carefully. Does this answer your question or is better here? Let the Lord bless. Just pray for that wisdom to say, I don't want to be caught up with these things here. Look forward to the day you can. Look forward to the day when you calculate all that you've given and it hits $1 million. I'm serious. Why can't we give? I like this old story of an old Indian king. He was constantly conquering people because he wanted more power, more wealth, more everything else. And one day when he was feeling very satisfied with himself, he said, okay, I've conquered everything nobody else will conquer. And one of his generals said, well, there's a kingdom across that side. You know, the king is fabulously rich with tremendous wealth. Oh, immediately, let's attack them, as he usually does. He's known for his wickedness, known for his cruelty, known for his... He didn't care for anybody, just money. But the man said, you know, but there's one problem. There's a desert from here to there. It's 200 miles. It's no problem. 200 miles, what's that? We do 20 miles a day. In 10 days, we get there. But there's it. Don't worry. We get all the water supply we want. So you've got all the water supply, the wagons and all that. It will last them more than a journey. 2 months water supply. More than enough. All ready to go. So they marched. Halfway through, there's something he did not expect. Sandstorm. One sandstorm, you get disoriented. You have no idea where you are. His army was lost. His men were lost all by himself. He had no idea how close he was from his home or from the city. There he was dying. And a man came along to him and said to him, well, he was carrying a skin of water. The man said, he recognized him, you're the king. And he knows that he's going to conquer the land. Give me a drink of water. And the man said, what would you give me? I give you a ton of gold. Said, nope. Well, what do you want? I want your entire kingdom. Did you hear the thing about it? No. Take my kingdom. Just give me drink. I would die anyway. So he drank. He was revived. So he said, are you going to honor your word? He said, yes. I will give you my kingdom. And the man said to him, I don't want your kingdom. I'm not interested in your kingdom. Let me just ask you one question. What is the worth of your entire kingdom? A drink of water. That's all. A drink of water. That's all there is to it. What would you do? I mean, life is life. If you had died and the kingdom was yours, you would still have died. But sometimes we forget. We really forget what things really matter. God matters. The Lord matters. His will matters. His revelation matters. Knowledge of God matters. These are the things that really, really matter. And then we go pray for small, small things. We miss the point of what prayer really is. Would Moses have liked the wealth of Egypt? It could have been his, but no. What's that? To stand there and God said, stretch out your hand, and the water becomes blood. You are part of God's work and you tremble at what God is doing. Every time I hear, I see God answering a prayer, I really tremble and stand in awe of Him. Because God is at work. Every time we pray, it's not answers that I'm looking at. I am looking at the deeper meaning. That they may know that I am the Lord. Back to point one. And I ask myself, have I understood you, Lord? You are the Lord. Have I? No? Hit me again. Because I've got to know this. And very often we don't know this. We don't know that the Lord, He is God. We miss the points of it all. You know, it's all about our little life. It's all about ourselves. It's all about the little problems we go through in life. Failing to understand what God wants to teach us along the way. That He is God. That He is the Lord. That He has a plan. And we are invited to be part of that great plan. How wonderful it is to be part of that great plan of God. And then you just stand in awe of God. That's how I see prayer. How do I fit into your plan? But I must recognize my role. I need to know what God wants me to say to His people. I need to explain. I need to teach. I need to demonstrate. I need to experience. I need to know this for myself. Then can I teach? You cannot play my role, George. You can't. Because it's not a role given to you. I cannot delegate this role to people. Who wants to take over this role? Think it's easy? It's not. So we have to understand God's plan here. Reveal. And then each one of us must play that particular role. Otherwise we're sunk. So I see the place of prayer where God would, you know, we talk to God. No, it was in prayer that God talked to Moses. And we keep on thinking, you know, when we read, God speaks to me. When I pray, I talk to God. But all this time in prayer, God is talking to Moses. And God is trying to teach Moses how to look at life, how to look at the greater, grander scheme of life as it works. And then we fit in. And then you ask yourself, what is my role? You shall be as God to be for me, to Pharaoh. You tell Pharaoh, you don't be scared of him. And the fear was gone. And now he stood before Pharaoh as his equal and more. Because Pharaoh sees himself as a son of God. Different Pharaohs will take on different gods. They choose their gods. And they believe that they become the particular god they choose to be their patron god. Really? That I will show you there is no one like God, the Lord our God. Moses is going to do this. Until they can say, this is the finger of God. And the enemies begin to tell the Pharaoh, listen, you better let them go. Because we are now fighting God and we can't win. You better let them go. The whole land is devastated because of this man, Moses. That they may know that I am the Lord. That they may know. Until you learn, till you know. Wow. That was really something else. We don't understand. Right? So it was for Moses to learn all these things. All these things he had to go and in every morning as he prays, God will tell him what to do next. Prayer to me is the place where I really seek to sense God, fathom God, look at what I should be thinking about, and then really, really bringing everything to God in the right way. The Lord, His will revealed to me what my role is, and then read. Then Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded. However long it takes, whatever time it may be, early in the morning, okay, early in the morning. But I don't like early in the morning. Can we do the afternoon? Why? You know why early? It was early in the morning. Let's turn to this a little bit. Let's turn to Exodus. Okay? Chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 15. Go to Pharaoh in the morning when he goes to the water. Can you see this phrase? You see this phrase? It's very, very, very ordinary looking phrase. Right? You know what it means? Okay? Go in the morning. But I'm a late riser, you know. I like to wake up later. In the morning. But I really don't like, I can't get up in the morning. In the morning. So Moses get in the morning. You know why? Because Pharaoh has to perform certain special functions at the Nile in the morning. It was part of the ritual of blessing of the Nile. So he will go there and he will offer his worship, his offering. He will worship the Nile and he will stand in the Nile and he will use water and he will go through a ceremony. It's always done early in the morning. So Moses, you got to be there when Pharaoh is there in the morning. If you catch him at sunrise, he's gone. You got to be there early. And there, you will tell him this. The Nile was the god of Egypt. The Nile was everything to Egypt. The inundation of the plains produce the finest crops. The water was the literally the place where trade is. Many people built their homes around the whole area. It was harbor trade. It was a huge thing. It was everything. The fleets, the navy was there. It was everything that was there. And there it was sacred. Really? It will be turned into blood. And it was God's word. Moses wouldn't have come up with any such thoughts or ideas. You see, prayer makes you sensitized to God. Prayer makes you fathom what God is going to do. And in doing what God wants you to do, you catch a sense of His power. And you stand in awe. It is never just rattle off and then amen in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm ready to go. What did you pray this morning? I forgot. that prayer counts for nothing. Learn to pray. But pray in this particular manner. Okay? Understand, God has a function for you. He wants you to fulfill all these things. And as you think of how you are fulfilling all these things from the Lord, you will see how prayer plays that role. It is never just a causative role. Far from it. There is so much more about prayer, where God explains things, where God reveals things, where God instructs, where Moses listens hard and then does it because he understands what God wants him to do. Many of our prayers are really not in anywhere close to that. We generally mention this. We don't fully understand what we are doing. And then we do it anyway. And we expect God to hear and to bless. I think we miss the point of it all. That's not what prayer is. Never was. What if every time you want to do God's work, you've got to know what you are doing. As you pray, you have to expect that God will help you to do what you want to do, or what you need to do, or what He wants you to do. Prayer allows us to participate in God's work. Chapter 8. Okay? Chapter 8. Verse 28, Pharaoh said, I will let you go. Okay? Then he said, intercede for me. Verse 29, Moses said, indeed, I am going out from you, and I will entreat the Lord. And then he went on, we read. So Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. This phrase is a beautiful phrase that reminds us that God will do as we pray, provided we fulfill all those things. And so he said, not commanding the Lord, just entreating the Lord. To entreat is to plead. But there is no weakness in that entreaty. We read beautifully and we stand amazed. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. Okay? It's very important for us. Verse 4, chapter 9. So the Lord will make a difference between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt. Then the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. And the Lord did this thing on the next day, and it was very, very obvious. Okay, so this is something that we need to look at very carefully and appreciate this. So the idea of I am the Lord becomes very strong and powerful and prominent. What God is going to do is now revealed. The role of Moses becomes clearer and clearer and clearer all the time. Remember this. We cannot just begin with just a generality. I have a general idea of what it means to be a pastor when I first started out. I have a far clearer understanding of what it means to be a pastor 39 years later. It cannot be the same understanding as I had when I first began. 39 29 years later, learning how to pray, I have a better understanding of what it means to pray now than when I first started. But of course. See, prayer is about learning. It's about learning. You mean God will do it according to what I say? Yes. Wow, really? That takes your breath away. Will that be abuse? Absolutely not. If you understand prayer, why would even that come to mind? Are we afraid of blessings? No. We know how to use them. We must. So prayer is an awesome thing to enter into. Our hearts are touched, our minds are enlightened, our spirits are stirred, our will is exercised, we stand before God in awe, and then we pray. That's an absolutely amazing thing. Rather than just saying words. Every day I ask for strength. For many years I ask for strength. And that strength is given, but I ask it daily. I'm very conscious of the fact that the strength is not something that I dare to take for granted. But I must harness the strength for the Lord's work. And I must not waste it. That's so important. Okay? But will God hear? Our hearts must say yes. Every 2 months, I have to start thinking about this. And I have to start, Lord, give me a word for next, not for November, December. I have to think January, February. Nearer the time, it has to be March, April. So many things to pray over. And until the Lord gives that word, that wisdom, that knowledge, there's nothing to look forward to. How do you know what to do next? You cannot do it. You cannot do God's work without praying and seeking Him for that understanding, because it won't fit in. Straight after acknowledging who God is, He will start to reveal. And if your knowledge of God is not there, if He does not reveal things to you yet, then you know just where you are before God. Not very far. You've not moved very far along the way. Learn to love. Psalm 27 verse 4. One thing I desire of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may behold His beauty, to inquire in His temple. Is that your prayer? The Lord says, seek my face. My heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Really? Really? Do it. It's not the stir of the moment. You know, the spur of the moment won't last. You know how you know it's real and it's true? It will last you a whole lifetime. Moses learned this lesson very, very fast. No time to learn. He's already 80 years old. The people have been waiting for 400 years to get out. He is the man of the hour. Gotta do it now. Learn it fast. Learn it well. Learn all you can now. That's what it is. Please understand this. Much is at stake. You are the men of the hour. We either do it now, tomorrow is gone. Much to be done. Much to establish that God is the Lord. Battles to be fought. Prayers to be uttered. Lives to be touched. Souls to be won. And we are wasting our time. how would then prayer be useful to us? Get it done yesterday. But if right now, at a certain age of our life, we have not gone very far, how much more we have got, it won't go very far either. I've always believed that it takes 10 good years to do something good. If I have not done all the things that I've done all these years, if I start now, it is too late to start now. So when you are still young, this is the best time right now. It takes me longer to memorize passages today than it was when I was younger. But I would do it anyway. On my knees, recognizing that I will need all the strength and all the grace and all the mercy I can get. But I will pray. I will learn the place of prayer. It is not making demands of God, far from it. It is really recognizing what it means to be in a position. I am the man of the hour in my time. This is what is given to me. I will not fail in my duty. This is my watch. And I will do what I need to do. This was my understanding initially, more than 40 years ago. What I'm sharing with you is a learning about praying to God that has spent 4 decades of learning. If I had taught this, I would have only taught this academically once upon a time. These lessons in prayer were learned through a lot of mistakes, a lot of missteps, a lot of misconceptions, corrected along the way, fine-tuned along the way. And I want to challenge you to do this at your time. Learn this. Perhaps God will give to you a wonderful life of prayer too. And God will really bless. And you will see the Lord's hand of blessing. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we just want to thank you for the challenge to really, really know you far better. Help us to stand in awe what it means to pray. What it means to be given the privilege of prayer. We pray that you would bless our time for lunch and for fellowship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.